Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. So there's some recent changes that have taken place with respect to the mortgage rules.
Yes.
Okay. Now, whatever. We'll bring people up to speed on that. But there's a very, very active debate that that we often have. And it's a really an interesting and fun, sometimes frustrating conversation with people about, is today the day, is today the time that you should own a house?
Let's be honest. You and I argue about this all the time.
We do.
And it's not just owning a house. It's how are you buying that house?
Correct.
So let me kind of set this up. Calgary Mortgage and Housing Corporation came out on Friday announcing a rule change to qualify for a first-time home buyer.
Yes.
Prior to July 1st, if you're putting a 5% down payment, you could borrow that money from a line of credit and use it for a down payment.
Right.
That's changing.
Right.
You can't do that anymore. You had to have a certain credit rating in order to get a mortgage and be insured, because you're only putting 5% down by CMHC. CMHC has said that credit rating is going to be a bit higher.
Yeah, pushing it higher.
And you have to qualify based on debt servicing. Prior to July 1st, if you had 39% of your gross monthly income paying towards mortgage, taxes, property taxes, and heating for the home, you'd qualify.
Qualify, yep.
They're pushing that down to 35%.
Right.
So they're making it tougher for first-time homebuyer.
Right.
Now, where does the pressure come into play? We've had this pressure before these rule changes.
Right.
It's going to increase for some going forward. And who's going to feel the pinch? The bank of mom and dad.
Yeah, most likely. So that's the question, right? This is a question we often debate.
Yeah.
So we have been, many generations of people have been raised with the idea that part of your success is that you own your own home.
Correct.
Let's challenge that.
Yeah.
Is that true?
So normally what we would tell people, that if you want to help your child with a down payment, with buying a home or anything in between, that we should stress test your portfolio, your financial plan, to see what would be the impact to you. And if there's no impact to you, then, you know, have at her. And you and I debate about this quite a bit, because I think there's one step beyond that. Are you doing a disservice to your child by giving them the opportunity to own a home today?
If they don't qualify themselves.
If they don't qualify for themselves. Even if they do. Even if they do, Dave.
Okay.
Should you be buying a home today?
Okay.
And it comes down to, and my biggest concern about this is that people get into buying homes, and I was one of them when I was young and foolish.
We were all taught. We all knew.
My dad used to tell me, make sure you own your own home.
Right.
No one can take that away from you.
Right.
Yeah. Thanks, Dad. What I've learned is that you jump in and you get buyer's remorse at some point, usually after the first repair cost.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
There are unexpected, extraordinary expenses that pop up when you own a home.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the things that need to be accounted for. And I have had conversations with many Canadians. And I'll give you an example. I had one that said, Faisal, I bought my home in Calgary 1974 for $13,000. The value of the property right now is $400,000. Look at all the profit I made.
Right.
That's a good investment. Mm-hmm. You should own your own home too. And I said, well, how much money did you put in to fix that place over those years?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's no accounting. Most people don't keep track of every dollar they spend on their home.
Right.
Bet you spent more than $400,000 fixing that home over the last 40 years.
Right.
So now you're in a loss. You took a financial loss because you spent more money than the appreciation of the home. This is something that new buyers, first-time home buyers, people who are upgrading their home, need to really think about. And we set them up for potential financial failure because we have the mindset that owning a home is a good investment.
Right.
And where you and I used to debate on this was just go ahead and do it. If it fits in your retirement plan, do it. And I'm saying we're not teaching this next generation how to manage money properly. What we're teaching them is take it now, take the plunge
yeah.
because that's the right thing. It feels right.
Right.
It may not be financially right.
May not be. And where we, you know, you and I have talked about this over, I think we're on the same page on this, is a principal residence, I've always contended, is a lifestyle issue. It's not an investment.
Yes.
It's for lifestyle. Now, I'm going to go back to, so forget about the people. Let's say a child has the money to do it. Then they have to make a, in my opinion, they have to make a lifestyle choice. So I separate that group from the people who, as a first-time homebuyer, can't qualify for the home on okay. their own.
Okay.
Now, they got to go to mom and dad.
Yeah.
Okay. I still contend that the home is a lifestyle asset.
Yeah.
But here's the problem I've got with it, is you can't afford that lifestyle.
Thank you.
There's the problem.
Thank you.
That I think we need to address, right, is there's been lots of decisions made over the last 20 years using leverage and financing on lifestyles that can't be afforded, and that leads to a problem. So
correct.
The fundamental issue for me isn't the house. I still, if you could afford it and you understand what you're getting into, fixing the roof is expensive, and you know when the furnace goes, you got a problem, and all those costs.
Correct.
Okay. Then you're prepared. If that's important to you in your lifestyle, then go for it, right? But the teaching aspect and the problem that we've run into and many people run into is we're reaching for a lifestyle we can't afford. And so is there any shame in renting? I rented for 5.5 years. I went through a divorce,
mm-hmm.
okay, when I was older, this, and I could afford a home. I chose to rent
mm-hmm.
for 5.5 years. And I have to tell you, and I'm a homeowner again now, it was pretty fun. I used to come in and...
You were a lot more nicer when you were
renting. You remember?
Yeah,
hey, the furnace went. I made a phone call. Yeah. It gets handled.
You
right?
smiled more when you were renting. You're so mean now that you're a homeowner.
That's right. Lifestyle. That's right.
Right? And so this is part of it. And part of the issue is we want our children to have the best, quote unquote. And the best means owning a home, because it's a bad reflection on me as a parent if my child doesn't have a home.
Yeah, see, I debate
that's part
that.
Of it.
Maybe.
The other part of it is this is what I've been taught by generations before me, so you need to do the same thing.
Right. So I was taught, and you can tell me if you were taught the same thing. My parents owned a home themselves.
Yep.
And I'm not sure I could think of an instance where they specifically said, Dave, to be successful, you have to own your own home. So I'm not sure that that was the message, but I certainly grew up knowing that we owned, that my parents owned a home. So yeah. that was sort of what I thought you should do. But I'm pretty clear that my dad said, if you can't afford it, you don't get it.
Correct.
Right. So there's a different message.
See,
there.
I got that message of if you can't afford it, don't get it.
Yeah.
Except for the home.
Yeah. See,
yeah, because that's a sense of security.
Right.
Your home is your land, your improvements on that right. land. It's yours.
Right.
But anything else, if you can't afford it, don't get it.
Right.
No, what? That they didn't teach me that in school.
Yeah.
They didn't, you know? So that's conflict in my head.
Right.
But I think what happens today is that there are many Canadians who cannot afford to be a homeowner over 5 years or 10-year period.
Right. Right.
And that's a big concern for me, because what they do is what's the one thing they'll forego in order to stay in the house? Savings for the future.
Mm. Well, yeah, because they think of it often as
emergency
investment.
Cash reserve.
Right? No,
emergency cash reserve, right. Number one thing. We've been talking about this for years, if not decades. You should have 6 months of cash flow set aside just in case, a pandemic comes along and you need money.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And you often people will think about their principal residence as an asset they'll sell in retirement.
And then you're renting. Then you're going back to my thesis of renting. Rent now while you're younger.
But we don't see that happen.
I know.
We don't see that happen. So I'm not sure that thesis. Anyways. Yeah,
it's
okay.
frustrating for me.
Listen, at the end of the day, here's the takeaway. If you're mom and dad and you're the bank and you're going to fund this, as a bare minimum, you make your own decisions about what you think is right, the message, and what you're teaching. That's completely up to you. But what you for sure should do is do a financial analysis to make sure that if you gift that money, that it's not going to impact your ability to live the lifestyle you want. And
correct.
We're going to talk about that very thing at our upcoming webinar.
Yeah, how do you bulletproof your retirement? We're going to talk about that on Tuesday, June 16, 7 p.m. online. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com. to register.
All right, thanks for joining us for another edition of More Than Money on 770 CHQR. We look forward to chatting with you next week.
David Popowich and Faisal Karmali are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodgundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowich and Faisal Karmali do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets, Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodgundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodgundy is a division of CIBC World Markets, Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.